Hi, my name's Patty Kindersley and I'm the CEO of Women's Health Grampians.
Groups such as the Australian Medical Association of Victoria publicly supported the decriminalisation of abortion in 2008, but it is opposed to a particular section of the Act. What is it about Section 8 of the Victorian Abortion Law Reform Act that is so controversial?
Section 8 of the Abortion Law Reform Act requires health professionals who have a conscientious objection to abortion to make that conscientious objection known to the woman and to refer her to another doctor who does not have that objection. People go to doctors to get medical advice and support and care, and if the doctor is unable to provide that, it's fair and reasonable that they make that explicit and that they give people the opportunity to go and see another doctor who can give them that care. One of the objections the AMA have to that is that doctors will feel complicit by providing a referral in an abortion still. That's actually not the case, and it's a bit of a misinterpretation, because doctors only have to provide a referral to somebody else who doesn't have that opposition, and it's somebody who will provide care, not necessarily an abortion. The other aspect here is that doctors don't even have to get into a conversation with a woman about this issue. They are able to put up a sign in their waiting room that says that they will not work with people on this particular issue.
From your viewpoint, why is it important that Section 8 remains in this Act?
It's absolutely important to protect women and women's rights, but it's also a bigger issue around if a doctor has a conscientious objection, then Section 8 actually gives them respect for that conscientious objection and still gives women the right to access service. If we just picture a woman sitting in front of a doctor asking for advice and not even being told that the advice they're given is not accurate or that it has a moral overtone to it. So it's almost lying by omission. We have many stories of women not being informed of a doctor's conscientious objection, but being asked to come back week after week for a bit more information or to see how you're feeling or for an ultrasound until the point comes where it's difficult for a woman to get a termination. Now, that is in no way offering care to the community. What we want from our GPs is to give us accurate medical attention and care. We don't go and see them for moral or ethical support. We do that in other ways.
Why is it important that the doctor refers the patient on to somebody else who doesn't have a conscientious objection? Why is it not enough that they simply inform the patient that they can't advise them on abortion?
I think it's important that we provide people with accurate information. And so when a woman or any patient goes to see a doctor, they're usually not in their strong physical or mental state. So that person is already entering into the relationship from a place of not being as well informed. And so it's never good enough in any service industry to say, sorry, we won't do that, without saying, you could try this person or here is the service that will help you. And I don't think it matters what service industry you're in. And we have to remember that GPs are in the service provision industry.
The Medical Board of Victoria is currently investigating Mark Hobart, a pro-life doctor accused of breaking the state's abortion laws. He says he refused to refer a patient who wanted an abortion because they wanted a boy rather than a girl. While those opposed to Section 8 regard this as a test case of the state's abortion laws, Patty Kindersley says as sex selection is not an issue in Australia, this is a distraction from the main argument.
Whilst this is an important case, it is an extreme case. It's the one in however many hundred thousand, and so it needs to be respected and it needs to follow its processes. But I don't think it should be brought into the middle of this conversation because it is an outlier.
Patty Kindersley argues the retention of Section 8 in the Act is a matter of gender equity in terms of access to services, and says women in rural and regional Victoria would be heavily impacted if the section was taken out due to a lack of choice in medical practitioners.
There's not another doctor 5 minutes away in many cases, and possibly the doctor is in a town 2 hours away, and one of the issues to rural women accessing services is transport and the cost of transport.
Patty Kindersley says she's confident Section 8 will be retained by the Parliament.
We believe that the Abortion Law Reform Act of 2008 is a very solid piece of legislation. It went through a range of measures at the time to ensure that it was. So, you know, Victoria is not a state that tos and fros with legislation on the whim of a few doctors who are unhappy, we're confident that it will remain.
Professor Nicholas Tonti-Filippini is the head of bioethics and an associate dean at John Paul II Institute in Melbourne. His particular objection to Section 8 is the mandatory referral component. Why do doctors have a problem with Section 8 of the Abortion Act?
Basically because if they believe that the child in the uterus is a human person, as they do, then to refer for abortion is basically to be complicit in the killing of that person. And if you can understand, if you have that belief, to actually assist someone to kill another human person by sending them to a doctor who's willing to do it is a problem. Another problem they have, of course, is that most doctors don't know the beliefs of other doctors in relation to abortion, so that it's very hard for them to comply with the legislation because they'd have to find the doctor whom they knew did not have a conscientious objection to abortion. And most doctors do have an objection at some stage. Very few doctors would be prepared, for instance, to go the full extent of this legislation, which is to allow abortion right up until term.
But that's not necessarily saying that that's the decision that the patient will come to.
It's a referral for abortion. That's how it's phrased. The understanding of what a referral is medically is a request for a procedure on behalf of the patient. The point in this, of course, is that in Victoria, no referral is needed. So all the doctor would really need to do is to say to the patient that other doctors may be prepared to do this. And the patient, if they Google abortion or anything like that, they can find out where the abortion clinics are.
Opponents say that it's a doctor's job to give medical advice. They say doctors offer a service to people, and it's not their job to offer moral guidance to patients.
That's really quite untrue in relation to the professional role of a doctor. If you go to a doctor and you're a smoker, the doctor will give you moral advice about not smoking. In the case of abortion, these doctors are in the position where they believe there are two patients, and so they have an obligation to serve both patients. So that it's quite untrue and quite false to say that doctors don't give moral advice. Of course they do. That's part of their role. And when you go to a doctor, you expect to get moral advice.
The AMA and Women's Health Services say it's sufficient for a doctor to put up a sign in their practice informing patients that they don't offer advice around abortion. Why is that not a solution?
The old medical practitioners board before this new membership said precisely that. They said, and I was party to a group who went to them, and they said, well, if they would treat a patient as vexatious if the patient persisted in asking for an abortion or abortion referral if the doctor had said the doctor had a conscientious objection. But now we're seeing this new board and the membership of this new board actually saying that that's an offence. In the case of Mark Hobart, no patient complaint. The board itself made the complaint about Mark Hobart's comment that he wouldn't refer for abortion. They had a conscientious objection to. In other words, they have pursued him for acting on the advice that was given by the previous board. And the same with the other doctor, and I can't mention his name, but the other doctor who was reprimanded, he said on Facebook discussion, just on Facebook discussion, that he would not refer for abortion. And he said that to other doctors on Facebook. One of them made a complaint, and then he was taken before the board and cautioned that what he said he'd be doing would be professional misconduct. In other words, right now, no doctor, as you've probably discovered, no doctor is prepared to stand up and say what they believe, even though there are some 200 members of the Doctors in Conscience group. They're not prepared to speak publicly because it's been made plain by the board that they would pursue doctors who indicate they've got this conscientious objection.
Our local Women's Health Service, who I've spoken with, they say that the case of Dr. Mark Hobart is an extreme example and argue that it's a distraction from the current argument that is not around sex selection. Is that not the case?
Well, no, the legislation doesn't discriminate. So whatever reason you have as a doctor for thinking that abortion in this case would be a bad idea, as soon as the woman asks you for advice, if you've got any objection at all to the proposal, then you're obliged to refer for abortion. In other words, the legislation, it covers the whole territory of any kind of conscientious objection. So the only piece of legislation I know that positively requires doctors to act in that sort of a way, that is, it overrides any kind of professional judgment on the part of the doctor.
Women's Health Services say that this change, if it were to happen, would impact more on women in rural and regional Victoria who already struggle with access to family planning advice and access to abortion. Is that not the case?
Obviously, it's not the case. The doctors will be giving them advice. Doctors in rural areas generally don't do abortions. The abortions are done in city areas anyway. It's just nonsense to say that they're being deprived of something.
Professor Tonti Filippini says he believes there's a strong chance a private member's bill challenging Section 8 would be supported in the state parliament.
I know it would have support in the lower house. There's not so much certainty about the upper house because there are new members in the upper house and nobody knows which way they might vote. But I think that this would certainly get through the lower house if they just amended the Section 8. I think Section 8 is quite obviously in breach of the national codes of all the medical organisations and needs to change.